Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection, that shows that has hair where George the Animal Steel doesn't. Whatever that means. Anyways, I'd like to introduce you to our panel tonight. First of all is Nikki Heyman. We all know her. And then we have...
Technical difficulties, apparently.
Nah, it's my mom. She's just pissed because I'm doing a radio show. And then we have DJ also here with us. Sorry if I'm a little startled tonight. It's just that mom's... It's that time of the month.
Ooh.
And we have another guest here. I'd like to introduce you all to our MMA expert, VRM.
Yo.
Welcome.
Yeah, hopefully I had better luck with my picks this week than I did last week with UFC 84.
Ooh. Yeah, I heard about that on Kayfabe Schmayfabe. That was brutal.
Yeah.
Oh, for what?
No, 2 for 3.
Ooh.
Anyways, I'd like to start off the show, ladies and gentlemen, to tell you about what we have going on tonight. We have our one-night stand picks. We have the beautiful people have unleashed a new gimmick on us. And probably the greatest dirt sheet ever, starring Mike Adamly. Go figure. But of course...
Mercy.
Right. But of course we begin with Monday Night Raw. Now, as we know, this was one of the... As we saw in the ratings, this was one of the lowest-rated shows that they've ever had. A 2.9.
And somebody at NBC Universal said, we're going to send you another notebook full of good ideas.
Well, they brought the ratings up. Can we have Vinnie Mac die again?
We're going to need a bigger bomb.
Yeah.
We have somebody in charge of William Regal keeping him away from the sweet brown medicine.
Or the gas, per se. But let's break down Raw, shall we?
Please.
All right. Once again, we have our dark matches and we have our heat tapings. The last heat ever.
No, it was on MTV. It was actually a good show, so.
Yeah, because after One Night Stand, there will be no more heat, and the ECW moves to the Raw brand.
Yay, Jericho and Punk in the same night. I'm all for that.
Yeah. Ron Killings defeated Nick Nemeth, the natural Nick Nemeth, in a dark match. Or Nick Metro, or whatever name that he's using this week.
Nikki the cheerleader, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then we had the poster child for Colgate, Gene Snitsky, defeat Super Crazy. Again, no surprise there. And then we had... The punching bag, Santino Marella, defeat Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Lance Kane defeated some nobody. And Lucha Man got a win.
But was he Lucha Man this time?
I think so.
Yeah, okay, because he didn't use the gimmick in Detroit. I was very disappointed.
He defeated Highlander Robbie.
Gotta love that push.
Or D-push.
Like I said, Robbie's push. Straight down the roster.
Yes. Who knows? Maybe on an episode of Raw, he'll be, or an episode of ECW, he'll be jumping to the Brooklyn Brawler.
Shh, don't give my ideas.
Oh, humiliation.
Hey, I would love to see the Brawler get a win. His last one was against Triple H.
Better yet, I want to see him wrestle the Boston Brawler.
Oof.
Oh.
Oh. Ouch.
Fatalman, fail.
No, that's not a fail. That's just an ouch. That was bad. Ooh. Anyways, we start off with Vince McMahon telling that he's going to give the WWE fans all that they deserve. And do something that has never been done in the history of sports entertainment.
Except it in your house.
In your house. In your house tonight. We start
and
off
what we're doing Sunday.
It's book like in your house. We gotta add that to the list of nicknames for One Night Stand.
In your house, Extreme Rules.
Right. In your house, Extreme Rules, Uncensored, One Bad Joke.
WWE, The Return of Moppy.
Nice one. Okay. Todd Grisham hosted a debate between Triple H and the robot Randy Orton. Randy Orton said it was typical for people to download his accomplishments and laugh at him.
Download?
That's what it says in Online World of Wrestling. Probably meant downplay.
Okay.
Probably meant downplay.
No, I bet you Orton said download.
Botchamania 44. And we got another caller. Caller,
good
hello.
Good evening. Good evening, everybody.
Uh-oh, we have a referee on board.
Referee Shane Matthews.
Sean Matthews.
Good evening, Simon. Good evening, everybody. How are we all doing tonight?
We're doing fine. We're
good.
We just started recapping Raw for the night.
Yes, I heard something about download or, you know, that might be one of Randy Orton's infamous, you know, I think I know what I'm talking about promos.
I think that is a Randy Orton thinks what he knows what he's talking about promo. Then again, he hasn't had one of those since, well, last week.
Very true.
And Triple H and Randy Orton ramble on and on, say that the age of Orton's dead, be like it never even existed. Then we have a Divas match to start off the match. A pretty decent one. Melina Perez defeated Jillian Hall. Jillian came out and said Melina Perez was her best friend, but this Sunday when Melina had no chance in hell, and then she sang No Chance in Hell.
If you want to call it that.
Well, I can't hear my eardrums sting around.
The horn.
You can tell Vince is right. You can tell Vince, you know, has asked for multiple rewrites because they keep putting drops of himself in every segment.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell we're heading for summer when Vince wants to do those multiple rewrites. So
yes. It's
yeah.
The most wonderful time. Let's move on. Melina beat Jillian Hall by her California Dreaming submission. Which, for those that don't know, is a double leg hook with the legs and a sort of like a STF neck hold.
Was Cena watching? Did he learn anything?
No, because Cena does the STF actually kind of okay. It's a passable submission hold that he does.
All you gotta do is pull his arms up and I'll be happy.
Yeah. I mean, nobody's done it worse since Eric Watts, but there we go.
I remember watching that, and I have to agree.
Where were we?
Then we had a World Tag Team title match.
Well, the tag titles actually defended? Whoa.
Yes. Tag titles were actually defended.
2 weeks in a row, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
Are they trying to go for a record or something?
No, somebody finally remembered.
Yes. Somebody finally remembered. It was Lundrick versus... Let me get back to what it was. Oh, yeah, here it is. It was Lundrick trying to beat Holly and Rhodes. Paul London tried to skin the cat, but Holly countered and landed the Alabama Slam on him.
With some
for
barbecue
the one...
sauce.
Huh?
According to Jim Ross, with some barbecue sauce.
Right. For... I'm going to do the actual what happened on the show. Referee counts. 1, 2, 3. Ding, ding, ding.
Causing every old school fan to jump out of their seats going, what in the world, and why did they hit that button?
And causing everybody on the AIM chat to start saying, GM DiBiase!
Yes, the Million Dollar Man is back. Then he introduced the newest member of the WWE Raw roster, Ted DiBiase Jr.
Yay!
He looks like a cross between Randy Orton, Mr. Kennedy, and a baseball player for the Pirates named Paul Mahalem. I think if you put all of those three together, that's what Ted DiBiase would look like.
The good news is that Junior can actually wrestle. I have seen it. I've seen it in person.
Me too.
The okay news is that he actually cut a decent promo. Not Ted Senior levels of promo cutting, but passable.
The good news is at least, from what I've heard, the direction that they're trying to go with Raw is that they're going to bring in a lot of the fresh faces. So they're wanting to make, you know, a stable of young guys. So, you know, some people would only wish that, you know, the Hart Foundation 2.0 would have been stayed around long enough for this to happen. But
yeah, but it never would have happened anyway.
No, I blame Teddy Hart. I just hope he doesn't turn into New Blood Millionaires Club.
That would be cool. That was the few Russo ideas in WCW that actually was good.
No. The only thing good that stemmed from that was what I keep seeing on YouTube when Gene Okerlund gives all sorts of crap to the New Blood and tells O'Hare that he could have someone break his kneecaps.
No, that wasn't New Blood. That wasn't New Blood.
Natural Born Thrillers. Sorry, the Natural Born Thrillers.
Yeah, Natural Born Thrillers.
Still the same.
And then after.
He told O'Hare to blow it out his ass. That was hilarious.
I just wanted to take out your kneecaps.
I love that promo.
I'll look it up on YouTube. We'll play that promo later on in the show, probably in the after show, but we'll play it.
I was going to say, the other good thing that came out of this was watching Billy Kidman get a win over Hulk Hogan. That made my night, but of course I'm going to get shit thrown at me by you old school fans.
No, that's okay. Kidman over Hogan. We had a training video of Piper and Cousin Sal. And then we had a backstage segment with Vince, Mickey, and JBL. JBL saying Mickey was a whore. Woohoo.
On that segment, sorry to cut off, I just struck me. Did anybody hear the reference of the TNAU program in that promo?
Mickey essentially made the suggestion of something very similar to what TNAU is actually doing, is what she had put to Vince McMahon, and of course he dismissed it, and then JBL came in, made a veiled reference to Ashley's woes in the whole escort fiasco, and tried to drop it on Mickey's head. And then...
When they were talking about schools, I thought they meant, like, schools for, like, the younger kids, like, grade schools, because I know there has been a youth movement within the WWE of trying to entertain, pushing people like John Cena and Rey Mysterio coming out with a WWE Kids magazine. So I thought they were going for like a grade school type rather than college. That's what I thought when they were talking about it, especially when it was brought up by somebody like Mickey.
Yeah, I think they were going for the middle school route there, maybe high school route, but I think you're right with middle school. And then in a tag match, JBL and Umaga defeated John Cena and Jeff Hardy. And you actually heard Jim Ross say, well, JBL won this match and he has the momentum going into One Night Stand.
What does that tell you, people?
That means we have a prediction all set up, and it's going to be a sweep for that match.
It means F you, John Cena.
Shawn Michaels, then we get to a Vincent Shawn Michaels promo. Forget about that. Then we had a Mr. Kennedy defeated Carlito match. Mr. Kennedy beat Carlito with the mic check. And then after the match, we get a warm-up for a new feud, which will probably last all of
3 weeks.
When's the draft again?
4 weeks, or 3 weeks,
4 weeks.
From Monday.
Yeah, so 3 weeks, this will, how long the feud will last. Mr. Kennedy versus Paul and Katie Lee Burchill.
OV Dub.
Yes, exactly.
You're right. And then we had a Vince McMahon, Trevor Murdoch segment, who sang a pretty good country rendition of the No Chance in Hell theme.
Vince doesn't like country.
And then we had a, which I think was match of the night, Shawn Michaels versus Chris Jericho in a double DQ.
And they teased the heel turn. I was so hoping that he would just, unload on HBK, a la the way Stone Cold unloaded on The Rock with the chair.
Oh, yeah. I was waiting for it. Like, he's sitting out on the floor. I'm like, all right, come on. You just can't stand there with this look on your face and not do anything. Come on. Cream him. What?
Conflict.
I wanted it to happen so bad.
Conflict. Drama. Come on, guys. Give it a couple more weeks. And then Sean turns.
That's the most, that entire triangle with Batista, Jericho, and Michaels is the most interesting thing on WWE programming today.
Yes.
Bar none.
Right. And then in the ring, Vince McMahon, surrounded by the roster, says he announced the draft to take place in 4 weeks. And then Vince McMahon said he had more ideas than tease the fan with the idea of giving money away. Vince McMahon said this is not a hosted trick. Every week on Raw, he was going to give away the sum of $1 million.
Dum dum dum.
Please tell me you have appropriate game show music for that.
Dum dum dum.
Hold on, I got it.
Price is Right. Come on. Pressure Watch, maybe. You know, $25,000 pyramid.
I'll take pyramid.
Sorry, it's the millionaire theme.
Welcome to who wants to be a millionaire.
That fits better than any of the other shows, definitely.
Okay, now can anybody remember the last time Vince tried to give away $1 million on TV?
Yes. It was 1997. It was SummerSlam, the $1 million chance.
Yes. I like it how they called fans on TV, and the fans like would ask really stupid questions on live TV, and Vince couldn't control it. It made me laugh.
Which means he's not going to do that this time because somebody's going to get called and they're just going to say, "Why won't you get the Motor City Machine Guns over here?"
I still love that. All right.
So which begs the question, in VRM, we were asked this on a. I'd like to call it a sister show to the new, which we're starting this week, the WrestleCrap Radio Network. The WrestleCrap Forum Radio Network. What would you do with $1 million?
Ooh.
I know.
We'll start with DJ.
Okay. I don't know if this would... I don't know. Let's see. The price tag I'm not sure about, so I don't know if $1 million would cover it. But say I like got the Walmart version of this, I would like to clone both myself and Santino Marella. That's what I would do with the money. Because the world needs more Santino Marella, and the world doesn't really need more me, but I need more me. So.
Wow.
VRM?
Told you to tell everybody else who's listening here. First things first, I pay off the remaining $90,000 that I owe to my college from the next 2 years. Then, with half of whatever's left, I invested back into the WWE, buy out a whole ton of shares, and then I think I've got, and then the rest I just put into a savings account where I get 5% interest. And now I'll go, I'm like, huge gain.
Nikki, what would you do with $1 million besides revive the real ECW?
I'd need more than $1 million for that.
I don't know. ECW did probably about $100,000.
I have some access to a few things, so let me first take care of little things, like a little piece of debt. Get my rent paid up through the end of the year so I don't have to worry about it. Put in some proper investments to see if I can live off it for the rest of my life so I can go in and give a great big fuck you to my boss. Then call a certain promoter in Hamilton, Ohio, and say, "Quit your job. Let's get your fit off the ground."
Sounds good to me. Hey, do you think I could be a color commentator on that in your federation?
We might need you. Actually, I need a play-by-play because I have a feeling if I'm not managing, I'll be doing color.
Can you guys imagine me and Nikki Hammond doing play-by-play in color?
Probably kill each other.
You got to be regular Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan.
Wow.
Give me a break, brain. Shane.
Well, I'm about $35,000 down in student loans right now, so I'd pay off school and I'd finish school and keep promises I made to other people. Let's see. And then I would invest wisely for retirement because I'd want to pursue the business. You know, I don't have to worry about crappy payouts or promoters that want me to appear and don't want to pay me. So I think I'd invest very wisely and then probably get a house, you know, get something sensible, something I can live in, you know, something nice out somewhere quiet, you know, or move to another part of the country or something. Sensible stuff.
By the way, I found a real game show thing that all of you might like. The old school crowd might remember this one.
Wow.
Which one is that?
Sounds like Tic Tac Toe to me.
Tic-tac-toe would be the game show theme. What I would do with $1 million, I think I would pay off my $5,000 to a student loan. Even though my mom's only 44, I'd put her in a home.
Oh, wow. Oh,
Heat. Flexing the heat to you.
And then, I go to Vegas with $500,000.
And invest. And invest.
On Randy Orton.
No. Poker. I heard poker.
Yeah, I play some high stakes poker.
Actually,
on GSN.
If you're in Nevada, Sidelman, you might as well just take a trip down to the Bunny Ranch.
Yeah, there we go. I like that thought.
Sorry, I don't spend my money on prostitution.
It's legal.
Anyway,
back,
same
though.
People call that dating.
Maybe Ashley Massaro will be there.
Oh! I'll pay
money
for that. I'll pay money for that. Why did that when I could make the short trip to Louisville, though?
And, that's my money. I would do this. Actually, Nikki, we would team up and start the Wrestling Federation.
I have a promoter in mind, and Mr. Matthews, you would have a job available if you were interested.
You know, we could definitely talk some good dollar figures at that point, you know.
How about $250 a show?
How much would you run?
If Russell was running full time, we would probably be running twice a month.
I could definitely be persuaded into twice a month for that kind of pay.
Twice a month, because we'd have twice a month two shows. We'd have the church hall in Hamilton. We'd get Doug for our audio guy. Russ can call up his lighting guy again. We've got somebody to do video. We get the rest of the stuff. We go bribe a TV station down there. We can be in 500,000 homes in 6 months.
Good. You got a lot of contention going on in Ohio right now. There's a big war going on with Fox Sports Time Ohio.
I realize that. And I, you know, there's a couple of organizations that might frown upon it, but...
Mm-hmm. Okay. I hate to say goodbye. Apparently, we got some tornadoes coming towards Cincinnati right now, so I just got the cue from my brother. So I'm going to pop off here and take care of the weather down and hunker down a little bit. So I'd like to – so it's good. Thank you guys for having me on and dropping in real quick. Sidelman, can I have one moment to say one thing before I go real quick?
Sure thing, Shane.
There's a worker who passed away this week out of Indianapolis. Nikki, you were there for it. His name was Steve Zoke. His character name was Botch. Wrestled for Insanity Pro Wrestling in Indianapolis. He was actually a minister of his own church and actually ran his own Christian promotion. I'm on a radio call. Sorry, from gut interruption. Botch passed away Tuesday. So technically, they found him Tuesday around 12 noon. Passed away. He passed away in his sleep Monday night, to be more specific. So just some prayers for Steve's family. They're going to do something at IPW next week in Indianapolis to grant Botch. Botch had cancer once, was in remission, and it came back. His final match was in April, and in April they said he would have 1 to 3 years. So it came on really strong. So it was actually prostate cancer. So just some prayers and thoughts for Steve Zoke's family. So it's kind of been a rough week for him, for his family.
Oh, and Sean, question before you go.
So thank you everyone for your time. I appreciate you guys having me on, and I will see you all later.
All right. Hey, Shane.
Yes, sir.
If you're able to come back, we'll probably be doing the one-night stand, one-bad-joke, uncensored, In Your House Extreme Rules pick-ems in about 15 minutes or so. If you want to, you're welcome to come back.
I can definitely see that. Apparently, my brother's trying to see. My brother's a meteorologist. He's signaling down there's some tornadoes in our area right now. So if everything looks good on the weather and things, definitely I'll call back.
Okay, cool. Take care, Shane.
Thanks, guys. I'll see you in a few. Bye-bye.
Bye. All
right. Where were we?
And if you guys would like to call on the show, the number is 1-646-716-9678. With that said, let's move on to Impact. Actually, let's not.
You're missing something.
Something from Tuesday.
My brother had control of the TV and I couldn't see ECW.
Ooh. Have mercy. Somebody had a sign in the crowd that said, "You're making me crazy. I couldn't shoot the television fast enough."
ECW bringing you attitude and altitude.
But don't worry. We have one of our favorite shows. One of my personal favorite internet shows is The Dirt Sheet.
Yes.
Now, who doesn't love The Dirt Sheet?
Ninzio and Funaki.
Jimmy Wang Yang, and actually Shannon Moore, because nobody would impersonate him.
Actually, yeah, Shannon Moore, nobody would impersonate ever. Actually, who was the moron? I know we had Matt Hardy was the Mattitude follower. Then he had his lackey Shannon Moore.
Yes.
And I know there was somebody who was a Shannon Moore follower.
A moron.
I believe that was Crash Holly.
Oh, Crash Holly.
Wow. I have an ECW recap if you're interested.
All right, go ahead. Hit us with the recap.
Just real quick, we opened with Big Show versus Tommy Dreamer. Tommy gets in a little bit of offense, but not a whole lot. Tommy also made the mistake of wearing the T-shirt with the pay-per-view logo on it. Somebody forgot to tell Tommy he's got to work Sunday. Let's see. Kofi Kingston was able to take care of business against Mike Knox. Unfortunately, he does not win the segment as Shelton Benjamin was sitting at ringside. During the match, Kofi hit a sweet spot on Mike Knox and only made him uglier by making him bleed. Let's see. Chavo Guerrero and CM Punk. This time it's for real.
Yeah, right.
Actually a decent match. Not a whole lot of interference from Bam. Chavo over Punk, surprisingly.
Not surprisingly.
Let's see. Lena Yada had a moment to speak to Colin Delaney and ask him a question about the draft. Colin simply replied, "The one person that needs to leave ECW is Armando." I couldn't agree more. Main event, it was a 3-on-1 handicap. The Miz, John Morrison, and his abs versus the ECW champion Kane. Essentially, this one fell victim to the schmoz button. As you can see, those three are three of the Singapore Kane match participants, and we just ended up with a great big mess at the end of the show. But that's how you're supposed to lead into a five-way going into one bad joke.
Or uncensored, or... Q?
In your house, Extreme Rules.
Thank you. On that subject, I would like to play a little bit of The Dirt Sheet for you. Are you ready?
Go for it.
The ECW champion, Kane. To do that, we're going to go straight to the source and talk to Kane's father.
Dude, Kane's dad's dead.
Yes, I know that. We're going to have a seance.
A what?
A seance, dude. You know, raise the dead, talk to Kane's dead dad. In order to do that, we're going to need candles, a Ouija board by Milton Bradley, tarot cards, a Miz t-shirt, a John Morrison t-shirt, both of which are available on WWE.com, and four people, one to represent each of the four elements, earth, air, wind, and fire.
We only have two people.
Well, luckily I got Funaki.
And now we skip ahead, and please beware of the, Police Academy 4 reference.
What am I doing here?
Everyone chant Yama, 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 Yama. Yo mama, yo mama, yo mama, yo mama, you're making me crazy.
Shoot, Adam Lee.
I need to have this as a sound effect on this show.
Please do. Mike Adam is amazing.
Is this
That would make a great sound effect.
Father of Cain. Father of Cain. Do you have any memories from the day he was born?
Oh, I wish we would have circumcised his head. Knocky.
And
I have a job for you. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Mr. Fuji.
Yeah.
Lunga's right. That's Funaki. Number one broadcaster, my ass.
I want to play the ending for you now, because this is great.
Well, we are portals to the infinite, Miz.
Dude, man, that was really bitchin'. That was freaking far out. Hey, I was thinking, maybe the three of us could go to that Castle of Wisdom place you keep talking about?
First of all, it's a palace. Second of all, is that your phone?
Are you kidding me?
With Bumso Brother, check it out now.
Well, I'm really a hip guy.
Yeah, you're not hanging out with us.
Well, come
in
on.
Life, there are winners, and there are losers.
Hey, that's the nicest thing anybody said to me since I joined ECW.
Never interrupt me again, Mike. We are the WWE Tag Team Champions. Don't do that. Beach up.
Greatest.
Adam Lee is a suck up.
Greatest dirt sheet ever.
I love it. So wrong. So wrong.
Yet so good at the same time.
Oh, boy.
Let's quickly bruise through Impact. Ugh. Team 3D comes down with Booker T. They start bitching Booker T about his he wanted to be treated like royalty, so we might be getting the King Booker gimmick back.
Hmm.
He had his pinky up during his entrance. So
Booker T said he would make everybody in the King of the Mountain match bow down to him, especially Samoa Joe. Brother Devon got in the ring and addressed Hector Guerrero, but was immediately interrupted by LAX with Guerrero, Salinas, and LAX. Guerrero said they would settle the issue with Team 3D at Slammiversary for the tag titles. And Cage and Rhino interrupted and asked what Booker T had been smoking. Then we hit the schmoz button, everybody starts brawling, talking, and what have you.
And then Joe comes down. Or should we say goes up, because he goes up to the stand.
No, and then AJ, after that, AJ Styles shows up from behind and starts swinging a chair.
I'm sorry, I missed this part.
Then we get some backstage segments with Borash and Angle. I gotta say this about Borash. He's been crapped on ever since he got into wrestling, ever since 2000. I mean, Nick, you might remember this. Starting off in WCW, he got beat up by Tank Abbott.
I remember, and at the time, I thought JB deserved it.
Then it got worse. Then mid-2000, he became Vince Russo's lackey.
Are you suggesting that he needs some proper, you know, he needs somebody to back him up, or just needs to grow a backbone?
I just think they should have just killed him off when Abbott blasted him. Save us 8 years of misery, especially from his play-by-play in the World Wrestling All-Stars pay-per-view that I have on tape.
That wouldn't be the one from Europe that that Lex Luger actually worked.
No, this was the one from Las Vegas, Nevada, where it was him and Mark Madden.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Can I make a quick point about Mark Madden?
Yeah.
If you will, He actually has a sports talk radio show in Pittsburgh. It's 3 to 7, and it's the number one rated show there. He's a huge Penguins fan. He's buddy-to-buddy with a lot of the Penguins in the locker room, and, of course, they're in the Stanley Cup Finals. So this is like the culmination of all of his talk about Sidney Crosby and everything. And then, let me think. This has to be last Wednesday, so a couple days before the Stanley Cup Finals started. He made a remark on air about Senator Ted Kennedy about his brain tumor, and he was saying, oh, I'm sorry to hear that Ted Kennedy has brain cancer. I would have thought he would live long enough to be assassinated. Those remarks made. He was subsequently fired. This isn't the first time that controversy has struck Mark Madden, who, he is way more brash and arrogant on talk radio, but he pulls in ratings because people listen to him. Anyway, this is the last straw. He's been reprimanded before, but ESPN dropped the hammer, so he is no longer working. So that's that on Mark Madden. And it's been covered by a lot of the sports places, wrestling places. So no more Mark Madden, but I'm sure he will show up in Pittsburgh since he is a ratings whore, and he will bring people in to listen.
Right.
But now that he's unemployed for the moment, can we celebrate just for a little bit?
I think I have a sound for that.
Yes. Yay.
I've got a sound for it. Can you – wait a minute. Let me see if I can find it real quick.
We can't. We got to move on with the show.
Okay, maybe we'll do it in the archive.
Yeah, we'll definitely have an archive section here because we have more stuff to talk about.
Awesome.
We had a tag match, Black Machismo and Jay Lethal and Sanjay Dutt versus The Rock and Rave Infection. Oh!
We love you, Sarasota!
After the match, Jay Lethal calls Sanjay Dutt into the ring for a talk. Lethal asks Dutt to be his best man. And then Jay Chung said he was going to throw a bachelor party, but next week, then revealed a surprise. A music video for his song, Addicted, featuring SoCal Val screwing Jay Lethal. Well, not really, but close to it.
I'm glad I changed the channel at this point.
Yeah, same.
Valerie looked really good in that video. Now here comes the beginning of a new gimmick for the Beautiful People, which really kind of irritates me.
Okay.
Their voices irritate me.
They just irritate me.
Yeah. Angelina Love and Velvet Sky claim they learned to respect them, so they put a paper bag over their head and pushed her out of camera range. A paper bag?
Do you want to know where they got that paper bag?
Huh?
They got it off a bottle that was in Scott Hall's old dressing room.
Oh, I thought it was just the empty bag from Awesome Kong's lunch.
Now, here's the thing that, hey, this could be potentially dangerous for some people here, because it could be dangerous.
Like John Cena marks in Eugene.
Mm.
No. Could be some people dealing with claustrophobia. Now, hear me out. If you put a paper bag over somebody's head, they're completely blinded. They don't know if they have room to roam or anything, so they could just freak out. And plus, there's suffocation they could be going for in the paper bag. I mean, why do they even do that?
First of all, the paper bag is a long-standing symbol of hiding ugliness, something that was seen a lot in cartoons. The chance of putting a bag over the head of a claustrophobic at the impact zone is pretty darn small, because I think some claustrophobics are also pretty bad in crowds too. So they might not even go to the impact zone.
No, I'm talking about the wrestlers.
If a wrestler's claustrophobic, they will say something before that happens. Because you are allowed to say no, even if in the wrestling business you're normally conditioned not to.
Right.
And TNA is probably more forgiving of somebody saying no.
Oh, yeah, before. Ask the Motor City Machine Guns.
Is that so they said no to something and that's why they're dropped all over the roster?
Right. Remember they wouldn't blade?
I never heard why. All I knew is that they were dropping up and down the roster. I thought it was because they wanted to take other bookings.
Hmm. Anyways, Angelina Love beat Roxy Laveau when Velvet Sky blinded Roxy with the hairspray. The pretty people then double-teamed her. Gail Kim came down on crutches to make the save. That didn't turn out well. Then ODB came down, grabbed one of Kim's crutches, and used it to chase off the beautiful people. And Angelina Love may have had a concussion, taking a crossbody from Rox when she hit her header in the mat.
Interesting tidbit.
Okay.
Interesting tidbit real quick. They did a breakdown of one of the recent TNA Impact episodes, and the only matches that drew viewers in were the ones that involved the TNA knockouts, especially the beautiful people. They were the biggest draw of the night. This was from, I think, a couple weeks ago.
Mm.
Wow.
Scary.
Anyways, let's move on to, let's just quickly breeze through this. Eric Young is in the search of Elvis.
Oh, you can skip that.
Nash has become the special enforcer for the King of the Mountain match, which means Tim and Nash will probably get a title shot at Victory Road.
Don't even joke.
He's also the special enforcer for Cornette's office.
The doctors have set a release date for Abyss, which is in 10 days. Same day as Slammiversary. Awesome, Amazing Kong, or Awesome Kong, whatever you want to call her this week, defeated a fan, the $25,000 open challenge. Then Kevin Nash chased away Team 3D and Booker T out of Cornette's office with the baseball bat.
Hey, have you met my buddy Louie? I will give him points for that. Sure, I did like that line.
King of the Ring qualifying match, Rhino beat Cowboy James Storm, Kel Surprise. Then we had another King of the Mountain match. Christian Cage beat Tomko. Jeremy Borash and Agent Styles and Karen Angle, they chatted, and actually not really. Kurt made to the ring, and Kurt Angle just blindsided AJ Styles. And AJ just got the living crap kicked out of him, and so did Christian Cage. Again. Which made me think, where in the hell were Joe, Rhino, and LAX?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
And everybody in the ring was a WWE product. Even AJ Styles, who was on Shotgun Saturday Night. So they were all pretty much, I mean, he wasn't a star, but everybody pretty much there was a WWE product. Even though I don't count AJ as one.
Yeah, that's kind of borderline. That's like saying Christopher Daniels was a WCW product when he did a couple of brief appearances on Thunder just before everything shut down.
Right, but the rest of them are though. All the ones that stood tall, and
and then
Christian Cage. But I was gonna say everybody but Styles, but Styles was technically a WWF guy. That doesn't make sense, but.
Mm-hmm.
Just covered my butt.
Right. And ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for your one bad joke, one night stand, uncensored, in your house, Extreme Rules Pick'ems. And here are the rules. You'll receive 1 point for each correct answer. Whoever has the most points wins and gets the NAWC Fizzleweight Championship. Thank you.
That I'm currently holding.
Nikki currently has it. So we'll start from the bottom to the top, according to what's on WWE.com. We'll start off with an I Quit match, Melina versus Beth Phoenix. And we will start from what's currently in the room with DJ.
Not too much to say here, Beth Phoenix.
Nikki?
I'm seeing Beth here.
VRM?
Yeah, no contest, Beth.
I'm saying Beth, too. But does she even have a submission finisher?
She'll find one.
I think she'll talk to Natalya and use the sharpshooter. Then we have the Singapore Kane match. Sho, Morrison, Dreamer, Chavo, and Punk. This one will probably be the hardest one to predict, so go ahead. We'll start with DJ.
They were teasing Sho and Kane at the end of ECW. I was leaning towards Punk, but I guess he has heat on him again. So, I don't know. I just don't want to pick him. I'll go with Kane. Or Kane, not Kane, Sho.
Sho.
Big
Sho. Right.
Sorry.
VRM?
Largest guy in the fight that he's the feud. Gotta be Big Sho.
And Nikki?
I'm going to pick against the Tide because with the draft coming up, there's a lot of guys there that could be moved around. Tommy Dreamer.
I am going with John Morrison. When in doubt, go with the abs.
It is a nice view.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have a false count anywhere match, Jeff Hardy versus Umaga. And we'll start at the bottom with Nikki.
This one's going to Umaga, and he's going to pin Jeff Hardy to a wall like Big Sho did a few years ago to somebody.
VRM?
Yeah, this one's going to go all over the arena. I see this either in a parking lot or something with a ladder, but I'm still going to go with Umaga to win this one.
DJ?
I'm going to go with Jeff Hardy. They brought him back. He beat Umaga. They had him on the Judgment Day card and beat a very good Montel Vontavious Porter. So if they drop him out here, I'd be surprised. So that's why I'm going to pick Jeff Hardy.
I'm picking Jeff Hardy as well. He's in the swing of things, and plus, didn't he take the fall in the Raw match?
I believe so.
So I got Hardy here. We got Michaels versus Batista in the stretcher match. We'll start with Nikki.
This one's really tough. Does Jericho have anything to do with this pay-per-view?
No.
Then I'm going to lean towards Batista because I think Jericho did find something to do.
VRM?
Yeah, I see. Jericho doesn't have a match in the card. He's definitely going to interfere somehow. And the way things are looking, he's going to interfere on Batista's half with a chair. I'm going to go with Batista.
DJ?
I think big things are in store for Batista. I really like his character development since WrestleMania. So I am going to, in my best Justin Roberts impersonation, go with Batista.
I am going to go with Batista as well. Now here's the challenge. It's the first blood match, John Cena versus JBL, in one word or less. No, I take that back. One syllable or less. Nikki?
Ow!
Meaning?
Well, I can't do much with only one syllable. Because Cena's two and JBL's three. But if you want a straight up answer, Cena.
Okay, we'll make it two syllables. VRM?
Layfield.
All right, that's two. Right. DJ?
Word life.
Marine. Last man standing match, Triple H versus Randy Orton. DJ.
Behold, the King of Kings stands tall, Triple H.
VRM?
Orton took the first last man standing match back at No Mercy. Trips returns the favor.
Nikki?
I'm sticking with the evil doc. There's no reason to put the belt back on Orton right now.
You're right. Triple H wins. And then we have Edge versus Undertaker, TLC match for the World Heavyweight Championship. Undertaker loses. He's gone.
Yeah, right.
Ah. Let's just all say in unison, 1, 2, 3,
Undertaker.
Edge.
What?
Here's what I'm thinking. They're not going to go through with it. Edge is going to win the belt. Undertaker's going to go away. People are going to think, oh, my God, he's actually fired. And then somebody's going to come around and say, Vicky Guerrero's powers have been revoked at WWE Draft. The last pick of the night, Teddy Long, the lights are going to go out. He's going to say, my pick, The Undertaker. That's my plan. Anyway.
Okay.
I'm picking Edge. They drew it out too long. They got to put the bell on Edge. Do it for me, please.
Is that you, DJ, or is this DJ or VRM?
That's DJ.
DJ.
Okay. So those are our one-night... All right. That's our uncensored one-night stand, one bad joke, WWE in your house, Extreme Rules, WWE trying so hard to be Russo, WWE Thunder picks. Okay.
We wish we were ECW pay-per-view.
Yeah. And let's be honest, this is guilty as charged.
The night the line was crossed. Oh, wait.
Oh.
Wrong one.
Ouch. Boo that man.
Boo. Anyways.
Okay.
Not much time left. Not much time left, so we'll get to a quick bit of news, if I could log in to WrestleCrap.
They don't like you anymore.
It should. I donate. I donate with inductions and jobbers of the week.
They want money.
I can't afford dinero.
Will?
ECW pulled a 1.0.
Typical.
Where in the hell is it?
You ate it.
No, I'm trying to find WWE news and notes. Anyways, we'll get to it in the archive section. For you live listeners, I'd like to thank you all for tuning in. Next week, we will have the results for WWE One Bad Joke, One Night Stand, Uncensored, In Your House, Living Dangerously. Uncensored, Living Dangerously, In Your House, and it's all one bad joke. For VRM, Shane Matthews, Nikki Hammond, and DJ, I am Robert Seidelman saying good night, good fight, and have mercy. And welcome to the archive section.
Yama, 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 yama.
No, it's yama, 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 yama.
Yo mama, yo mama, yo mama, yo mama.
You're making me crazy.
I'm under the furniture.
Hi, Adam Lee.
I'm under the furniture.
Oh, and please, everybody, please send a check or money order for $9.99 to the Mike Adam Lee Fan Club, care of BJ at...
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm starting it.
I'll send you a check.
Oh, by the way, remember last week when we talked about the dinner with Kevin Nash?
It's oh, you heard. Fake.
It was a kayfabe dinner, actually, so. You get what you pay for.
Oh.
Ouch.
And the TNA is free walking in the door.
Well, nobody bid on it, so.
That tells me even more, folks.
By the way, we have some World X Cup news.
It's back.
Yep.
And I'm not watching it.
No?
I don't know. I just can't. I can't get excited, especially because I like the first World X Cup so much that this one just kind of. I mean, there's only four teams. It's kind of stale. None of the names really impressed me.
Well, here are the names. Three of the four teams have been fully announced, along with one member of. Of the fourth team. Here we go. We have Team Mexico, which is Ultimo Guerrero, Rey Bucanero, Volador Jr., and Averno. Team Japan consists of Milano Collection AT, Tachi Ishikara, Naruki Doi, who is a normal on, who is starting to slowly become a regular on Ring of Honor, and Masato Yoshino. And Team USA is Chris Sabin, Alex Shelley, Kaz, and Curry Man.
Yay! Wait a minute.
Wait, what?
Yeah. I want proof of residency from Curry Man.
I just thought they were Team TNA.
Well, this was at an official press conference in Mexico.
I still want proof of residency for Curry Man.
And the final match will take place at the 7/13 pay-per-view in Houston, which is Victory Road 2008. Hector Guerrero was representing TNA at a press conference yesterday at Arena Mexico for CMLL. They also announced CMLL's Alex Kozlov as part of Team International in the World X Cup. Also slated to be on a Team International would be Doug Williams from England, Tyson Dews from Canada.
Who I've met and recruited.
Actually, this would be the second X Cup that Tyson Dews would have appeared in. He appeared at the 2006 World X Cup.
Okay.
And the fourth member is still up in the air.
Fusion Thunder Liger. Oh, wait.
That'd be... You know who'd be a good wrestler to have? And who I would like to see in there?
Who?
I wish they would... go to Ireland. No, they'd have to go to Switzerland.
Yeah, I think I know who you're talking about here.
Claudio Castagnoli?
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
How much does he weigh? Can't be more than what, 230?
I've only gotten to see him work once.
I've seen him work in ROH a couple times and IWC in Pittsburgh. And I love Claudio Castagnoli. Double C all the way.
I got to see him work Ring of Honor when they were in Cleveland a couple of years ago. I think he was actually tied in with Chris Hero at the time.
The Kings of Wrestling.
Yeah.
The most money-making man in all of Switzerland.
Mm-hmm. Here's some more news from TNA. TNA's upcoming Hard Justice pay-per-view, which is their August pay-per-view, the location will be announced, but it'll be outside of Orlando, so I think it's pretty much safe that there's no more Orlando pay-per-views.
I heard that they were talking about the crowd there has seen it all, so you really have to kind of go over the top in order to get them to get a strong reaction out of them. They're kind of like jaded now. It's like the law of diminishing returns. So I'd actually like them to come up to our area in Ohio. I know they promise this to every place they go for a house show. Like they came today and then they said, oh, we might have to have a pay-per-view here. I know they do that for pretty much every place they go, but I'd love to see them work like Dayton or Columbus. I know they're doing a house show at Cincinnati Gardens in June, but they need to come up here a lot more often.
I think we might have another. Are you going to the one in, where did you say, Cincinnati?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's one in the Cincinnati Gardens.
Nikki, are you going?
I am scheduled to go. Sean went ahead and got me and Bear tickets. EJ, if you haven't gotten a ticket yet, hold off. There is a possibility that I might not be able to go. Now, this is a good news, bad news thing. This is a good news, bad news thing, because if I don't go, it's because I'm not even going to be in Ohio at the time.
There you go.
So, the other reason that I will encourage anybody who's interested to go to this show is that Sean Matthews is attempting to referee at this event and might actually have the in and the right, you know, he has the right people saying the right words to the right honchos. It could happen.
Ring of Honor?
TNA.
Oh.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say this or not, but doesn't he have a friend that's a pretty highly regarded worker in TNA, wrestler?
He has a friend that is working for TNA. We are just not allowed to divulge who.
Yeah, that's why I didn't think I was allowed to say it, but he's one of my favorites. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. By the way, I found the last person. The top names being considered.
Okay.
Tyson Deuce, Doug Williams, Alex Kozlov. Kozlov's confirmed. How about Sean? How about Daivari?
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay, yeah, I did read that. My bad.
Scott Steiner was too injured to wrestle. The reason why you didn't see him at the last Impact tapings,
mm-hmm.
You didn't see him this week, you won't see him next week, is because he was injured. Suffered some sort of injury from the title match at Sacrifice.
Hmm.
The injury isn't serious, and he should probably be back in the ring after Slammiversary.
Okay.
What's the situation with Petey? Because I heard he was injured too or something.
He had a busted orbital when Jimmy Rave, I believe it was Jimmy Rave, caught him in the face. Rave was trying to do a Shining Wizard, but was in way too close and essentially put a knee through Petey Williams' orbital. The good news is it wasn't as serious as originally anticipated. I actually met Petey Williams at Primetime Wrestling in Belleville, Michigan, the weekend after it happened.
and Petey looked like he was just recovering from a black eye. He's going to be out for just a couple more weeks to make sure it's healed.
So will we probably see him at Slam? We'll probably see him at Slammiversary to defend his title.
Well, yeah. If you want to take a look on my website at NikkiHeyman.com, go to my TNA page, and you'll get a look at him from that show. It doesn't look bad at all. It's not Joey. It's not a Joey Mercury looking injury.
Oh, that injury was brutal.
That was but to TNA's credit, after what happened with Jimmy Rave and Petey Williams, Petey rolled out of the ring, and that was the last you saw of him for that segment. You don't even see him go backstage. They did a promo segment later on, but he had his coif and his sunglasses on, so you couldn't even see if anything had actually happened.
Right. More notes here. TNA is planning for the possibility of Sting retiring when his current contract expires at the end of the year. Company officials want to give him a proper send-off after watching what WWE did for Flair. Although Sting has not indicated whether he plans to retire from professional wrestling at the end of the year, though. At Slammiversary, the plan for Sting is to give an interview pondering his future in wrestling.
Did anybody hear about them possibly bringing back the Ultimate Warrior to do a Blade Runners type deal with Sting and Warrior?
No, that fell through. That was
that?
A rumor.
Just a rumor?
That was fake.
I'm glad. Oh, what time is it? Normally on a Friday night, I don't worry too much about the time, but I've actually been asked to go into work tomorrow.
I think we should end it here. We had some we had some great stuff that here's something about Heat, and it's confirmed. Make sure to watch the weekly top five on WWE.com every week, and don't miss the final episode of Heat as well. 513 episodes, and now it's all over. So Josh Matthews is now working WWE Fan Nation.
I didn't realize he still had a job. I missed him on pay-per-view free-for-all.
Well, after Tim White killed himself, he really had nothing left. Kayfabe killed himself. Sorry.
No. You're fine. That was, that's another moment of WWE history that I choose to try to sweep under the carpet next to Katie Vick and Al Wilson.
By the way, the guy who created or helped create Katie Vick, Al Wilson, and the Billy and Chuck wedding.
All right.
Sean, WrestleCraft.com. Here we go. Former WWE writer Seth Mates did an interview with Artie Reynolds. So go over to WrestleCrap.com and listen to WrestleCrap Radio, and you will have a good 90-minute induction, a 90-minute discussion, including details about the infamous trio of angles Seth had a hand in. Katie Vick, Al Wilson, and the Billy and Chuck wedding.
The Billy and Chuck wedding does not deserve to be WrestleCrap. That was one of the coolest segments on SmackDown that year. Just for the Scooby-Doo ending. If you hadn't read spoilers, it would have blown your mind.
Can I talk about something on a related point here?
All right.
I saw something on the WrestleCraft forums when you talked about WWE writers. Dave Lagana, now I don't know if this is true or if it's just something that was completely made up. Apparently, one of the reasons that's coming out as to why he was fired, apparently he attempted, he made a pass at Kevin Thorne, and by pass, they were in the restroom, and he offered to, let me just put it this way, do a favor for him. Kevin Thorne was promptly freaked out, apparently he went to The Undertaker and complained, and The Undertaker somehow used his pool to get Dave Lugano fired. And apparently Kevin Thorne, it came out in the thread, he had done something with Jason Sensation, like when he was the Mordecai gimmick, where he raped Jason Sensation somehow. It was a big thing. I guess Jason Sensation was going to come out in his book and talk about like how he brought him up to a hotel room, and there was a WWE agent there at the time that said you had to do this, and there was a WWE wrestler who says if you can't get through this, you'll never be a wrestler. And all this stuff that was coming out just kind of blew my mind, so I just thought I'd throw it in there. And
That's way the hell out there. It's my understanding that Lugano got fired because he was the leak. He was the one that was telling all the news sites what WWE was going to do.
That's what I had heard too. I heard that exact same thing, and that's what people were talking about. Like we thought that's what the thing was, but it just seems too contrived, too far-fetched. I mean, to come up with Kevin Thorne, and that's why I kind of believe it. I guess his past history with Jason Sensation, which I never knew about. I don't know. It's on the WrestleCrap forums. It's pretty funny. It's a pretty funny thread. They make light of it. I mean, it's not something to laugh about, but they do their best to kind of keep it, keep the conversation moving in a way that's not too crazy. So check that out.
That sounds like a candidate for the Death Valley Driver Board's 100 pages of rumors and stories. I'll have to find you the link to this. It is some of the craziest and it's a pretty disgusting crap. But I hope your story ain't true. I put Lugano on somebody's pedophile list deliberately.
And you know what? The only thing that leads me to believe that that's not true is because if they fired Dave Lugano, then why haven't they fired Pat Patterson already? Because Pat Patterson allegedly made a pass at a WWF announcer like in the early 90s. I forget his name. It's not Sean Mooney. It's somebody else.
JR?
Nightingale, probably.
Well, that was and JR got him back on TV, and fellas, he's single.
They were on the Phil Donahue show. I saw it on YouTube. I forget his name, though. I don't know. Let me Wikipedia it if I have 2 seconds. See if I can find out the guy's name. I try to think it's like something Morris or something, but I don't. Let's see if I can dig it up. Here's Pat Patterson's Wikipedia page.
And by the way, David Stern is now dancing. Because he just saved, because the trades that happened single-handedly saved his ass. Because we have Lakers-Celtics in the finals.
We do. Nice. Okay, I've got the name of the guy here. Former ring announcer Murray Hodgson.
The black guy.
In 1992, Patterson was accused of sexual harassment by former ring announcer Murray Hodgson and released from the company until the charges were dropped when he was promptly rehired. So I guess he was let go, but anyway.
On that note, we should end the show.
Before it gets any worse?
Yeah, Nikki has to work. I'll probably get yelled at by Mom, go figure.
Now, and just to give you a heads up, Mr. Seidelman, I doubt this will affect the radio show, but if I put on a good showing this weekend for my job, I could be headed back out to Minnesota. So, DJ, keep a door open. You might have a ticket for the TNA show in Cincinnati.
Okay. If I can make it. I won't be in Columbus at the time, but we'll see if I'll be able to make it from home.
All righty. I'll keep you posted.
Okay.
And that's it for us. So good night, everybody.
Night, folks.
Good night.
Night.